what prompted your decision to run for House District 20?
Quite frankly, I got tired of waiting for somebody in this area to do the job that I know I can do. For years and years, I've been content to support, given my role as a lawyer in this community representing thousands of people, I've been content to support others that wanted to go into public service. But I expected that there would be results commensurate with their ambition, and unfortunately, there hasn't been. We have a tone in Raleigh that is disproportionate to what could occur if that tone did not exist. And so I believed it was time, after years of people asking me when, if I was ever going to run, to step forward, to change the tone, to put results over rhetoric, put aside all of the labels, and focus on the things that we agree and less on the things we disagree.
District 20 includes Castlehaine, Ogden, Porter's Neck, much of Wilmington, Kings Grant. What are the particular challenges you see facing the district?
In sort of order, at least mentally, of priority for me, first, public education. We need to take teacher pay to the national average. We need to take per pupil funding to the national average. Hope we have an ambition to be greater than average, but that's the first step. Next, school safety, which goes hand in hand with a common sense discussion about gun violence issues. Next, Gen X. It is crazy that as I sit here and talk to you, the North Carolina legislature has yet to appropriate a penny to DEQ, yet in hearings just yesterday threw rocks at the university who never asked for the funding that they received to do the thing that they did, only to be criticized for their efforts as being political. Third, the living wage in New Hanover County, according to numerous studies, is about $25 an hour. Working families, many working families in this county, don't combine make $25 an hour. So it's time to take the minimum wage higher than its present, what it's presently set at, whether that's over a period of time from $11 to $15 or not, whether there are exemptions for people under 21, the hospitality industry, et cetera, that are especially dependent, especially with young people on hourly, whether you do that is certainly subject to debate. But you've got to give working families an opportunity to do more than just get along. You got to give them an opportunity to get ahead. You've got to look at, therefore, clean industry to bring to this area. We've got to have an education system to train the people to attract that industry. The film industry certainly one of them, but until we change the tone in Raleigh, it won't matter when we restore the pre-2014 film incentives. We still got to have a much kinder and gentler, tone of this state before that industry is going to come back.
On the topic of Gen X, how do you feel the issue of emerging contaminants in the water has been handled so far locally and by the state?
The concept of emerging contaminants, or contaminants generally, is one that goes back to the 70s when the EPA first came on the scene and began regulating the discharge of contaminants into the waters of the United States, or passed down to the state's waters of North Carolina. Typically what has happened is that the industries have complained that the enforcement mechanisms were too stringent, the standards were too stringent. Then comes the party in charge of North Carolina's legislature, who strips both money and positions from the DEQ, whose job it is to stay on top of emerging contaminants, especially with those who have a discharge permit. And the perfect storm then occurred. That emerging contaminant to place its predecessor, C8, came on the scene. Position cuts occurred at DEQ. No one, therefore, required that Chemours submit the molecular makeup of this new emerging contaminants so that the appropriate discharge levels could be determined. So now I'm not very happy at the way it's been handled, but I don't blame DEQ for that. I blame Chemours for that, and I blame the party in charge who cut money from the agency whose job it is to take care of that.
You mentioned also the film industry. Are we basically at the foot of Mount Everest looking up, and is there, how much hope is there that it could return to, I guess you would call it the heyday of the 90s and early 2000s?
Yes, we're at the foot of Mount Everest looking up. We are now at the back of the line. We must grasp that as the reality, not only because of the change in the incentive program, but because, again, of the tone. We're not known nationally, much less internationally, as a state that is very progressive, is viewed as being very bigoted, racist at times, and so we're at the foot of Mount Everest looking up. Can it change? You know, look, I'm a guy whose glass is always half full, much to the criticism of some people around me. I believe that there is more about which we agree than we disagree, and on the issue of whether we're bigoted, whether we're a progressive, whether we're a state that grasps everybody's differences, this is where I grew up. I believe that. And then B, therefore, yeah, I believe that when, as a whole, not just a vocal minority, we're viewed as a very embracing community, and we therefore can compete economically with our competitors whose seascape, landscape can be as every bit as impressive as ours. Yeah, we're going to bring it back. Will it happen quickly? No. It took a long time to create it, but as the old adage goes, it can take just something bad happen for it to go away. So it'll take time, but I'm cautiously optimistic it'll come back.
Let's say you're out talking to voters just before Election Day, and one of them's on the fence between you and another candidate. What do you tell that voter? How do you convince him that Gary Shipman is the one that should get that person's vote?
I would look them in the eye the way I've done thousands of other people who have come to me with the most complex of problems, and I've helped solve them. And I would tell them there's no one alive that you know that you'd rather have be in this position than me. Not only because of what I know, but what I've done and what I'm committed to continue to do for the residents of this county. That experience with any of my competitors in this primary, even the incumbent, they can't match it. They'll never match it. Not within my lifetime, they can't. And so I would tell them, trust me as thousands of other people have done, and let me get a job done for the benefit of everyone here.
Gary Shipman is running for the North Carolina House of Representatives, District 20. Gary, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate you having me.